KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. Last year, Americans spent $300 million on products intended to improve their short-term memories or to help them concentrate better at work. Do these products work? Reporter Amy Standen takes a look.
A couple years ago, Alvaro Fernandez's wife, Lisa, had a baby. She took 6 months off, and then she went back to work.
And obviously, she would have loved to have a brain boot camp, like a boot camp, but for the brain.
A boot camp, but for the brain. Fernandez, who's with a marketing research company called Sharp Brain, says 20 years ago, baby boomers were discovering aerobics. Pretty soon, he believes they'll be hiring personal brain fitness trainers.
So we predict that by the year 2015, the industry may grow to between $2 billion to $8 billion.
Right now, the industry mostly consists of video games. They cost anywhere from $50 to $400, and they're also popular thank you gifts for public media station fundraise, including KQED. For example, there's Happy Neuron.
Doggone it, you asked me something about yesterday. My short-term memory is really a problem.
Lumosity.
People who use Lumosity can become better at the things they need to do every day, such as remembering people's names or solving problems quickly.
And CogniFit.
Your CogniFit brain fitness program continually adjusts, so the tasks are never too easy or too hard, but always challenging and fun.
The general idea is that by doing something really basic and repetitive, like in this game, by Posit Science, by telling the difference between an up noise and a down one, you're actually changing your brain structure, training it to behave more like a young brain. Mike Merzenich is the chief scientific officer at Posit Science, which is based in San Francisco, and a retired professor of neuroscience at UC San Francisco.
We see memory improve. We see cognitive ability improve. We see the engagement of the person improve. We see things that relate to the quality of life improve, and we measure those directly.
Well, I think most of the claims they make are exaggerated.
Murali Doraiswamy teaches psychiatry and geriatrics at Duke University Medical Center and has researched these games. Now, Doraiswamy is not entirely critical of these brain fitness games. In fact, he thinks there's been some promising research on them, just not nearly enough of it.
Because they can sell these products without FDA approval, there has not really been a financial incentive for them to go out and spend money to do a large clinical trial. And unfortunately, because of that reason, the evidence is still weak.
For example, take an issue scientists call transfer. Say you start getting higher scores on a brain fitness game. Well, what does that mean? Game manufacturers say they've studied this, and they believe the skills do carry over to the rest of your life, things like name recognition or being a better driver. But not everyone agrees.
It's the difference between saying, I can teach you something, or I can make you smarter.
Laura Carstensen directs the Center for Longevity at Stanford University.
Can you improve a brain so that brain is faster, more adept, more vital? You know, that's what the claims are, and I don't think there's really any evidence for that.
There is evidence, however, to suggest something we can do. Joel Kramer is a neuropsychologist at UCSF's Memory and Aging Center.
I think that the research thus far demonstrates a much clearer link between exercise and brain health.
Which is to say,
if I want to improve my brain functioning, what is the best thing I should do, in your view?
I think you should head to the gym and start getting some aerobic exercise.
Of course, it isn't just the fear of normal aging that has people buying brain fitness programs.
Tell me all the words from that list that are animals.
In his office, Kramer is showing me a video of a medical screening that he did on a patient.
Rabbit.
Yes.
Perfume.
No.
Dog.
Kramer read him a list of words and seconds later asked the patient to repeat them.
Can't remember a single one.
This is not normal aging. This is Alzheimer's disease. I asked Stanford's Laura Carstensen whether brain fitness tools could have helped that patient. She didn't even let me finish asking the question.
No evidence, none, zero, none, that these games would prevent Alzheimer's disease.
Because at this point, nothing has been shown to prevent Alzheimer's disease. Not crossword puzzles, not Sudoku, not exercise. But that doesn't mean Carstensen won't give advice to people who worry about becoming forgetful as they age.
People, you really should continue to be involved in the community with kids, with schools, with work. And that'll do just as much for your cognitive functioning, probably much more.
Studies have shown that in addition to exercise, people who do things like teach kids to read or take dancing lessons seem to stay sharp longer. Scientists aren't sure why that is exactly, but they say it's not a bad program to follow. Again, Duke's Murali Doraiswamy.
My recommendation to people is to just do whatever it is that they enjoy, that they find novel, and that they find challenging, and to stick with it.
For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED News.
Find links to scientific studies about brain fitness games on our website, kqed.org/quest.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, with additional support from the Amgen Foundation.